Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston, a show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with Dr. Frederick Woodard. Dr. Frederick Woodard has a degree in parapsychology, along with several other degrees in psychology, and actually works in hypnotherapy. So welcome, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. So I guess I should first start with, what got you into hypnotherapy? What made you kind of venture a little bit past the standard psychological study, so to speak?
Well, I was the actual evolution of my interest in hypnosis is my interest in the spiritual and paranormal phenomena, where you're looking at consciousness. My book, Perceptual Hypnosis, is just that, looking at consciousness. How do we expand our consciousness? How do some people see things other people can't? You know, and so hypnosis, I saw, was a way to meet that place, you know, in another way to kind of nurture yourself to open up more. Because it's really just consciousness anyway. Everything we're doing is consciousness.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. And it
so
does
that was
really
my interest.
Well, it does really link into the paranormal if you put a lot of thought into it. I know a lot of people are just out running around chasing the ghost, and don't get me wrong, I do that share of it myself by following investigators. But our mind plays a major part in it, both subconscious and foreconscious, I guess, is the easiest way to explain that. But mostly the subconscious can really play tricks on you out there. I've learned that myself from isolation sessions and knowing too much going into a location. Of course, you have a lot of, I guess the easiest route to say it, that is you have a lot of preconceived notions a lot of times when you're talking about the paranormal, until you start digging in and you start realizing that the word paranormal means a lot of different things past ghost.
Right.
So I can certainly understand a little bit about that. And I know your books, and forgive me, I haven't had a chance to read through everything that you've done so far. I'm still reading a lot of it, by the way. It's fascinating. You spend a lot of time talking about expanding your awareness, expanding your consciousness, and understanding a lot of things. And I think that's kind of an amazing approach, really.
Well, I mean, the whole point comes, I take the phenomenological approach psychologically. It's a research method, it's a philosophy, and it's kind of like it takes people's verbal descriptions and you bring it down to its ultimate meaning, you know? And like you said earlier, the preconceived notions and stuff, that's how people can misperceive things. And one of the biggest things why I called it perceptual hypnosis, my approach, is to see clearly, accurately. How do we see accurately? There's a lot of illusions. There's a lot of projections. I've done a little ghost hunting too. It's not the only thing I do, but it's one of the things I've done. And I had a buddy of mine, and there was a woman, we were at her house, and she was talking and asking questions, trying to stimulate the voice recorder or the spirit box and things like that. And then she said, okay, really soft, totally changed in her voice pitch. And so the next day, my buddy says to me, hey, we got an EVP, listen to this. And I said, no, that was her. It was just a change in the voice, you know?
Yeah, no, I can certainly understand that a little bit, especially with EVP. Electronic voice phenomena is very, very tricky. Anything in the environment can actually be picked up when you're sitting out there and you're using a recorder. So you have to be kind of really in depth when you're looking through everything. And the reality is, though we can receive voices that are unexplained, a good percentage of the time, if you really dive into the audio of it, you decipher it, you start looking at the other video that hopefully you're capturing during that period in time, you find out it, a lot of times it is the surrounding. It could be something as simple as somebody next door or somebody in the same room.
Right.
I've even had television and computer signals picked up from time to time because the walls are too thin.
Right, right. But the interesting thing, though, is that there are experiences where people have, you know, something happens. It just is, the chances of it are a million to one, and it's really hard to explain. You can call it coincidence, but it's more like what Carl Jung talked about, synchronicity. One of his descriptions of synchronicity, Carl Jung was a psychologist who was very much into the spiritual world aspect, unconscious. He layered things in a very unique way, like he believed we carry our history of all our ancestors with us, and we carry the history of all mankind within us. And one day he was in his office, and a picture fell off of his bookcase and cracked, and he noted the time. That was the time that the person in the picture died. That's just very interesting, you know, hard to, it's like a different type of experience that you can't completely dismiss because it's too coincidental. And there's a lot of things like that that happen too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, I actually talk about that in some of the seminars that I go to. It's very important to collect that information because though it's just personal experiences, the more data that you can get to match, like with any field, the more logical that data actually adds up. And we've ran into some of that with EVP. There's been some questionable situations. Well, I've ran into that in a lot of situations, but it is unique how it happens. And really, you can't do much more but explain it, and it becomes a fascinating story a lot of times. But it's an amazing part of the paranormal, really.
Right. I find it, those kind of experiences really help. I mean, there's a lot of it. I'm working on a second book, which is more about spiritual experiences of all the people that I've researched, and from a phenomenological research methodology kind of thing, which is different. I did an article back in 2012, which was published in Psychological Reports, which is a psychological peer-reviewed journal, and I had a number of the cases. I had the entire case in the note. It was like a 50-page article, and I was just pulling out the psychological qualities that happen during these types of experiences, some of them, and it was my beginning project, and a lot of the people that I really found their experiences were worthy of reporting and valid in the experience. There was always some physical correlate. They had something happen, and then there was a physical reality that happened that matched what happened to them. Uh-huh. You know, and that's stuff that's hard to dismiss, but you can't capture that in a laboratory, which makes it hard because a lot of scientists want everything to work out in the laboratory and you just can't, like, threaten someone's life in a laboratory. It just doesn't work.
Well,
you know,
you
can't put them in a fatal auto accident or, you know, have emergency surgery or, you know, or whatever other horrible traumas some people experience, and then something happens. Uh-huh. And one of the experiences that's in my book, I had a woman right here in New Hampshire in Nashua. She told me a story about how her car, she had gotten in an accident and a car hit her car, and she was in the middle of the road, and she suddenly saw this man in white with these long arms, and he pulled her body through the window and put her on the side of the road. And she didn't understand how that happened because her body was bigger than the window. And then as soon as that happened, another car hit her car and would have probably killed her. And she told me this story, and I was going over this story and over it and over it. And I was wondering, gee, maybe she she got shot out of the window and thought it was something. And then I was reading a book on Padre Pio, and in the book there was this little side story of a pharmacist who was driven off a river by his chauffeur, and while he was in the water, a man in white pulled him through the window, which his body was too small for, and put him on the bank of the river. Hmm. And there was a 20-something year difference in these stories, total different. One was in Italy, one was in New Hampshire. They're very similar stories, you know?
Now, would you say that, I mean, And this goes a little bit beyond the psychological, obviously, but would you say that when you're hearing these stories, and I've had a few myself that I could actually share, but I mean, this show's more a little bit about you and of course, your books and theories and so forth. But more to the point, really, would you say that when you're listening to all of these things, that it could be something that we just simply can't explain? There could be something else out there that walks with us that we have no idea or visually see most of the time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, that's what I got with that. I was trying to, you know, think about how it could possibly have been just a normal experience. But then when I hear another story from 20 years earlier in a totally different country, in a little story in a book you couldn't possibly have found if you wanted to, it's not even referenced in the book. And it's a very similar story. It makes you begin to, you know, think about the validity of people's stories, how there's many different people telling similar stories that have never heard the other person's story. So something's happening, you know. And I don't think we have the technology. I don't think we have the methodology. I don't think we have the awareness to tap stuff that's way above our awareness level. I mean, if we get moments, glimpses of it, which Abraham Maslow pointed out, he called them peak experiences, moments where you see something greater that can keep you going for your whole life. You know?
It makes perfect sense. For me, actually, it makes perfect sense, but that's just because of my personal experiences I've had. I've really felt from time to time that I've been guided by something. Not all the time, but I've had very unique experiences, including being saved very early on and helping save my family from a fire in a home, where something came to me in the middle of a dream and just basically told me, wake up, tell your mother to take the child, and tell her there's a fire in the house. And of course, obviously, I woke up immediately. The house is filled full of smoke and so forth. Now, psychologically, I suppose you could explain that. But if you add it to the other experiences I've had in my life, it makes sense to me that there's something out there that guides us from time to time.
Right. Well, yes, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, it might not be just one thing. It may be many things. One of the cases that I put in my article was a woman that was just graduating college, and she was doing an art show at the college, and she had a couple glasses of wine, and she had gotten into her car. And in New Hampshire, there's no seatbelt law, so she wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And she went to get into her car, and she heard her dead grandmother, who she hadn't spoken to, thought of in years, say in her head in German, "Put your seatbelt on." And it kind of shook her so much that when she got in her car, she put her seatbelt on. And about 15 minutes down the road, she got in a horrible accident and rolled her car over 3 times. And when the police came, they said it was a miracle she was alive and okay. And, you know, how does that happen? How does that go into your awareness, into your mind? What took place to allow her to hear her grandmother in her head? And she was kind of an atheist before that. And she said after that, that she began to argue with herself, and she eventually came to believe that there is something else, and that perhaps her grandmother had actually intervened and saved her life.
Well, I would think when you hear these, you have no choice but to kind of believe and question a little bit. I mean, spirituality is an amazing thing. It unifies cultures. It has its negatives when you start getting into a few things, but it has a lot of positives too. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with believing and understanding that there are greater things than us, if that makes sense.
Oh, right, right. And it's what I talk about, that accurately perceiving, reaching the truth. It's not an easy thing to achieve, because you have to go through your beliefs. You have to go through the preconceptions. You have to be able to, you know, move your fears out of the way, all the other stuff. But eventually, I do believe there is truths. You know, there are truths. There's distortions and there's truths. And how do we remove the distortions so we can see the truth clearer? That's what draws us, I think. That's our evolution, is to see more clearly.
Yeah. That's human instinct, I think, in a lot of ways, if you actually think about it. We drive to learn. We want to see more clearly. That's the easiest way to explain it. We get caught up into all the explanations, all the traumatic events, all of the stress of life and so forth. But when you get to our common goal, we just simply want to learn and understand. And a part of that is trying to perceive what we can't understand sometimes.
Right. And that's where I talk in my book about, you know, like external influences affecting us and how we have to overcome them, and empowering the individual to see, to learn to trust their own perception, to learn to strip away the illusions and the distortions so that they can see more clearly. And that's one of the reasons I was drawn toward hypnosis as a way to help do that too, like remove our negative thinking and the traumatic experiences, like you're talking about, the things that interfere with us seeing and functioning more clearly.
Absolutely. When you get into, when you dove into your research, and I know that from what we're talking about, hypnotherapy actually goes eye to eye and end to end to that. Did you, outside of the spirituality, did you look into hypnosis and I guess the easiest way to explain it is regression therapy on not only paranormal and ghost cases, but UFO cases? Did you look into all of the things that most people don't talk about that hypnosis gets used for within the paranormal world?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And believe it or not, there's been some incredible people that have been involved in all those different areas. There was a Indian woman that... psychiatrist, her name is, I don't know how to pronounce her first name, but her last name is Modi, and she did some stuff with like possession and hypnosis. It was fascinating. And there was originally a dentist that actually got a psychology license, and he was studying hypnosis and possession. And then there's John Mack, who did kind of like what I'm doing with spiritual experiences, with UFO experiences, and he really delved into these people's experiences. It's fascinating, his work. What I found ironic was he was one of the first scientists to be investigated and found and approved to continue his work at the university. In the past, people have been, you know, like Franz Mesmer, way back in time, the father of hypnosis. They said that it was just imagination. But when John Mack, his work with UFO abductees is fascinating, just absolutely fascinating. And he had everyone psychologically tested, and then he interviewed them in depth, and it was very interesting. So I've looked into all of those things, and I think they're all valid in a way. They all have a point. You know, it's the result that is the, I guess it's the results that are, that really, to me, is what matters. If you help somebody through something and their symptoms go away and they recover and they're happy and they're able to be functioning, you know, then you've done something good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know that a lot of people don't think about it that way. Now, I try to when I'm discussing it with people, even on the investigation, and when I do a lot of referrals, I don't try to diagnose anybody, obviously, or so forth. My job is to tell the stories of other people. And when I've helped ghost hunters and paranormal investigators, however you want to state it, it just depends on what community you're in. When I've helped those people along, I stress, as well as most of the ones that have been in it for a while, that the job out there is not to really diagnose anybody. It's to kind of get a feel for whether you can help or not, and who to refer them to a lot of times, because you never know whether they're experiencing a real experience or whether something else is going on. And generally, you can get a feel for that. But
that's one of the
very important.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to be a psychologist, so I could make that distinction better. You know, be able to recognize when someone is having other difficulties and you need to help them with that. Sometimes people can be having both, which is really difficult to handle. They can be having a genuine spiritual experience and also be having other difficulties.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. And it does seem that goes hand in hand sometimes with the more aggressive things that are out there within the paranormal world. a lot of people like to call it demons. A lot of people like to call it evil entities. A lot of people call it other things. But it does seem that sometimes you can have both going on. Somebody can have psychological issues, but also be experiencing something that's going on. And that's brought up some unique things, actually, in the paranormal research culture. I'm sure you probably looked at that from time to time. Psychokinesis, telekinetic ability, and so forth. A lot of doctors throughout the years have experimented with the idealism that perhaps maybe some of this is actually brought out from our own mind, if that makes sense.
Yes, there was one of my first master's degree was at University of West Georgia, which is a it's a branch of the university in Carrollton, Georgia, and they have a psychology department there, a humanistic psychology department that's just fascinating. Raymond Moody taught there, and he was there before I was there. And there was also a guy, Bill Roll, who did the poltergeist stuff, and he was a PhD from legitimate educational backgrounds, and he studied that a lot. And a lot of the times he believed it was actually the source was a person's mind that was actually moving things. You know, and altering things, and it's really fascinating. But yeah, what the mind can affect, and how powerful our minds are—that that's in itself a fascinating subject, all by itself.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary thing to conceive that our minds could be linked to all of this. Yes, we're moving it from time to time. Also, we may be communicating with other things. You know, it all revolves around the mind at one point or another.
Well, here one of the connections I made with that whole idea of our mind having power over things. One of the very easy one with hypnosis often is you can actually lower high blood pressure for people through practicing hypnosis. And it, the actual means that it happens, you know, I think it's your greater mind that takes over. But I tie that in, that's the connection between the spiritual, like moving something and then, you know, altering your body with hypnosis. There's that connection. And then the stigmata where people's bodies were being altered, you know. Mm-hmm. And I see those things as very interesting connections to point out something greater going on within us.
You know, that's something people don't speak about a lot as stigmata, but that would make sense that, you know, really strictly speaking, that if your mind is so attached to the situation that's going on, that you could basically design the stigmata on you by the situation.
That is basically, I believe, what they – I looked into the stigmata and read quite a bit on it, and it's like the people are so – they're so empathic with the pain of Jesus that they start to develop the symptoms that he was inflicted with. It's basically the description of it, but they're usually, you know, so spiritual, so pure, and so connected that they start to develop those very symptoms. And what's the difference between that and moving an object and lowering your blood pressure? It's your mind interacting with something outside of it, the mind. You know, if the mind's not physical, it's altering something physical. And that's where I see those connections. And I find them fascinating. And they are starting, even in conventional science, to see correlates in the brain with hypnosis, to notice changes in the body through meditation and things like that. And in hypnosis research, there was way back several times they pointed out that just doing hypnosis with no benefit at all, just doing it to do it, you improve your T and B cells and improve your immune system.
That's very interesting. I know that being a survivor of cancer, one of the things that I learned was meditation, not really hypnosis, but meditation did help a lot more than most people would think. I know when you talk about that, a lot of people laugh, and I've probably got listeners out here that are going, well, that sounds a little bit weird. But you deal with a lot of stress when you're actually taking chemotherapy, radiation, you're having problems with sunlight, you can't sleep well anymore, and then you're exhausted on top of that. But if you learn how to kind of center your mind and meditate a little bit, and I had an American Indian help me with that along with some herbs and a few other things to get through the process, you really do get through it a lot better.
Yes. Yes, it's true. It's very interesting that meditation to me and hypnosis are the same thing. The only difference is meditation, you're just doing an openness. You're just trying to be in the moment and just experience, where hypnosis, you go into that same place and you try to do something. You try to accomplish something. And I think they're really the same, although there's people that wrote books that said they're different. But when I've meditated and I've done hypnosis, I don't see how I'm in a different place. You know, I've done both. And you go deep within yourself and you start to lose. Sometimes if you go deep enough, you lose, awareness of your body, but you're still aware of your consciousness. Or you go into an imagery situation and you're like right there, almost like a dream. And, I don't know where the difference is. There's like a certain place you go with meditation and you go to a different place with hypnosis. I don't know. I think they're just the same with different objectives, you know?
Well, yeah, that makes sense. And you're actually linking a lot of things that work in the metaphysical world. I know that you probably spoke to a lot of spiritual mediums by now. You probably spoke to a lot of individual people, and I have a lot of those within my community. And a lot of times they talk about using their third eye, traveling to other planes of existence. And that really all makes a little bit more sense when you link the two together. Meditation is unique. You can actually physically feel yourself coming to another level. It's hard to explain, but you feel more attuned, I guess you could say, to things around you, other situations. It would be easy to see where somebody could isolate that further and feel like they're kind of moving away from their body and going into a whole other plane of existence.
Right. Well, that's astral projection and out-of-body experiences and all of that that happen too. And there's people that have had those experiences. I've found that very fascinating too. And the idea that sometimes people come back with information they're not supposed to have. So they saw now, something and the other person's, the people validated it, you know?
Yeah. Oh no, I've actually spoke to many people that have done that. And I put one to the test actually. That's a friend of mine. I still speak to him a lot on Facebook. He came over from England a couple of times, but we didn't get a chance to meet up in person. But, I'm always a skeptic. It's just in the nature of anybody that's been in this for a while. You go in skeptical and then you realize that skepticism only gets you so far before you're sitting there asking the same questions as everybody else. So I put him to the test a couple of times, and it was amazing how he could identify things in a home that he's never been in. I mean, he knew what my office basically looked like without any pictures at the time. He described a book that was on my shelf that I had just bought a week prior, so there's no way I had photos of it. And I really can't explain why or how.
Right. Yeah. Those are the things that's when I interview people. And I mean, there are people I believe that, you know, are trying to get attention, and that's true of any field. I remember reading a book on, I think it was Daniel Brown, the guy that wrote the guy that did the Da Vinci Code. It was, the original author was somebody else who did Holy Grail, Holy Blood, or something like that. And I read that book, which was fascinating. And he had some woman camp out in his office because she was royalty, you know, and it was kind of crazy. But it was funny because that does happen. You know, it's just like people, you know, what are they? They're confessing to a crime they didn't commit, you know. You know, those things do happen, but I think most people that you can tell genuinely the genuineness of people when they come and they really want to understand what happened to them, you know. Or actually, one of my professors in West Georgia that did phenomenology with dreams would say that you could really tell one of the ways you can tell that something is really genuine like that is it's how it transforms a person's life. Uh-huh. You know, their life is changed after that. It actually changes them in a positive way, you know.
Now, when we're dealing with, And I'll ask you this on a level because most people wouldn't understand what I'm about to ask, but I've discussed it several times with several teams and a psychologist up here for a brief period in time. When you're dealing with psychic mediums, I know a lot of times that they channel ghosts or they speak to ghosts. And like you said, it's hard to tell which one is which a lot of times. Some people have genuine gifts, and I've seen a handful now within 27 years that I could believe that are very well gifted, where others you can tell that they're, they're just kind of playing the game. But do you believe it's possible for them to be picking up on people's thoughts and emotions a lot of times when they're reading everything else that's around them?
I think it is possible. I do believe those things do happen. I mean, I've had little moments of that myself, where something would happen that I thought, and it's the actual experience of living it that makes the difference. But I had a medium once when I was young that I went to see for a reading, and I was interested in all of that. But like you, I've seen some people that I don't think are really genuine. But this woman said, before we get started, we're going to have to, I have to tell you some things and make sure I'm connected to you. And so she actually reminded me that when I was a young boy in my parents' house, I could walk out of the kitchen and you were outside. But then my father had a garage built, and you couldn't do that anymore because there was a garage there. And the interesting thing was she didn't know who I was. I don't know how she could have known that happened. And somehow she did. It was very specific. And then she told me my girlfriend had horses. She was around a lot of horses. And I said, no, she doesn't have horses. I've never talked to her about horses. So I went home and I said to, what's with you and horses? She said, oh, my father had a horse farm. Huh. He sold it. And years ago. And I was like, oh my God. But that was one where I was really, I went back to try to see her again, and she had died of cancer 6 months later. Wow. But I really did believe that she was a genuinely gifted person, and how she was picking up that information, that I'm not sure. Whether that's a timeline, the archaic records, or whether you carry your whole life with you. You know?
I think it might be a combination of things. I had the wonderful privilege, and I'm sure she won't mind me mentioning her name. I had the wonderful privilege of speaking within the past couple of months to Lori Johnson, which has been on TV several times. And of course, when you see a TV psychic medium, your first instinct is, okay, well, I'm not sure what to believe. She spent some time over the phone and gave me some descriptive detail about something I have never shared with anybody. It would be almost impossible for somebody to find that, though you could dig really, really far back and find the death involved. It would be truly hard to find the link, because even in the newspaper articles, my name is not mentioned once. I just found it very, very intriguing that she came into a lot of detail, including basically giving me the girl's name that I was attached to at the time. And it made me believe a little bit more, because I've been spending so much time on the skeptic side of things with most of them that there's only been three now. She would be the third that have made me question things, but she was very, very talented at it. So,
Yeah. I mean, the genuine experiences is what I seek to understand and to like emulate in a way of how can, we expand our consciousness. That's what I look at. The other things usually aren't for the right motives anyway, and that's not going to lead anywhere to begin with. If we're just after popularity or ego or fame or something else, that's not really going to help.
No.
It's not going to help you grow spiritually. But I've had, experiences myself, a few here and there. And, they're just hard to, they're like that experience of her telling me that about the garage, which I wasn't even on my mind. And how does she know that? It's like, they just make you think, wow, something else is going on here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It leaves a question in your mind of how, what's, like you said, what's going on? That's the easiest way to explain that, I guess. I perfectly agree with what you're saying. And, there are good motives and bad motives to, every situation.
One of One of the things I talk about in hypnosis in like my chapter 3 is dehypnotizing yourself. And what I actually mean is that the popular version of hypnosis, the popular way people talk about hypnosis, is actually not what I believe hypnosis is supposed to be or is. Hypnosis is really supposed to be about empowering the individual to empower themselves, not take control over them, to help them take control of their own mind so that you're in control of your mind, not somebody else. And so I think the world tries to hypnotize people and does. In some cases, wanting to do that, and in other cases, it's just misinformation. Like our parents teach us things that they were taught that may not be true, but that's what they believe. So they try to genuinely give us the knowledge they have. When we take on that knowledge and we believe in it, it's not real. We make it real. And to dehypnotize yourself is to see more clearly and take away those external forces that are telling us things that aren't true. And even the Asian religions like Buddhism and stuff, I remember reading somewhere one time that they were saying that the thoughts in our mind have, most of them are just not even truths anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it's very interesting. You know, I see it as like the popular view of hypnosis, taking control of somebody. No, I'm teaching you to take control of your mind. I don't want to take control of your mind. That doesn't help you. What helps you is to be in control of your own mind. But of course, we have forces out there that don't really want that. Because if everybody could think for themselves and see clearly, we'd have a much better world. We'd be cleaning up some stuff.
Well, that is a very good approach to look at, though. I know that in marketing and sales, which I originally started at, one of the things that we were taught early on, and one of the things that I taught a long time in classes, is you control a lot of your own decisions and your own destinies. So sure, I can teach you a thing or two about techniques and designs, but ultimately, the easiest route for you to relate with your customer is to understand how they're thinking. Because you can give them a dozen different pushes a dozen different ways, but let's face it, in the end, if you've got a pushy salesman, what are you going to do? You're going to say no. But if you get the person what they're looking for in the first place, or at least try to help them out, even if you don't sell them something, they're going to remember who you are, and they're going to respect you for that. so it makes sense to me that controlling your own thoughts and controlling your own life, even when you don't think it's controllable, can't do anything but help.
Right, and that's the whole purpose of hypnosis. Even in a book by Richard Bach, he said, there's a quote in his book that I love, and it's better hypnotist than Messiah. And the reason he says that is because he really interprets, and I totally agree, and I in my chapter on religion, I spoke about this. Jesus wanted people to wake up. He did not want them to just follow him blindly. He wanted them to become aware. And to follow is to be unaware. To awaken is to be empowered. And so that's why that I think he said that quote, and I think it's a beautiful quote, because I really believe that the great spiritual leaders want people to wake up. You know?
That makes perfect sense to me. I hope a lot of other listeners understand that as well. I think what you're saying is fascinating, Dr. Willard. A little bit of a brief pause. You're listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the most largest digital radio stations here in the United States of America. If you're going to go with the best digital radio station or podcast, I do encourage you to go with the best. Go with BBS. On a personal note, unfortunately, I had some things happen in life this week with somebody close to me. She is fine now, but I was going to go to a very delightful friend's wedding, Gavin Kelly and Paula Purcell from Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown. So I'd like to just give them a shout out on radio tonight. Congratulations on your wedding. I wish I would have been there. Unfortunately, I have to take care of a sick relative, but I wish you all the best. Generation Truth is actually going out with Gateway Paranormal on July 7th. We are shooting a very unique location. I won't give you the details there, but stay tuned on Facebook and so forth so that you can follow Generation Truth and Gateway Paranormal. Gateway Paranormal is a wonderful team. We just ended our video for our first investigation with Interface Death on our team. Interface Death is a wonderful group. I encourage you guys to go to their website as well. You're speaking to Dr. Woolard on Paranormal Truth and Reality here at BBS Radio. Dr. Woolard is a fascinating psychologist that has done many, many things, including hypnotherapy. So we're just going to jump right back into the conversation here a little bit. Doctor, I'm going to kind of let you jump in and really talk about, I know we talked about a lot of different things, but you probably have a few things that you want to speak about tonight, and let you kind of jump in there, and we'll just kind of roll with the quotes after that.
All right. Well, I think like one of the things I was thinking about is like, how do we expand our consciousness? It's the term differentiate, seeing things differently, seeing different aspects of your environment. You know, how do you open up more? It's by seeing things differently, and I think trying to get new ways of looking at things, so that you're constantly building flexibility in your thinking and in your perceiving. I think that helps a lot, and it opens you up to the experiences in the world. Sort of like a part of my Native American heritage, I have a very big, strong connection to animals, and they bring me messages sometimes. And so, you know, it's like, where does an animal come out of nowhere at a certain point? You know, I think those things are like, you pay attention to what's going on around you. I think that's kind of part of the process, is to just be more aware of your surroundings and pay attention to what's happening.
Now, when you pay attention to surroundings, do you have any recommendations that you would give to the listeners on how to start with that? I know there's a lot of different ways of doing it, but just to kind of give them some basic pointers on, hey, before you read my books, you know, if you want to get started on this, try to think of it this way.
Well, actually, my book on perceptual hypnosis is probably the best way to do it, because I wrote that book. It took me like 15, 16 years to write it. I started it in grad school, and I slowly expanded it. It's really a step-by-step view of expanding your awareness, and it uses hypnosis and the paranormal as like fields to explain it with, like different case studies and different examples to help you do that. It's a process, and it doesn't happen every minute. Like, I think people want really quick results and really fast results, but just being aware, things happen when they're supposed to. But being open to it really, really helps it happen, where it could actually be happening and you don't even see it.
I think that happens quite a lot. I know that it took me a number of years to notice that, you know, some things are happening around you, and if you don't open your eyes, you just totally ignore it.
I can give you an example. My office is in a really nice location. There's a waterway by it, and there's a lot of woods on one side. But there's a lot of buildings, too. It's near the center of a small town. And I was thinking one day, maybe I should just move my office to a little more remote of an area. I don't even see any otters in the water here. And I've looked and I've looked and I've never seen one. And within 2 days, I look over on the bank on the other side and there's an otter. Huh. And my instant response was, nope, whatever you need will come. You're in a good spot. I haven't seen one since. But the idea that the otter, you know, showed up when I had that thought. And I've tried to see one since, and I haven't. That was the only time I saw one. And, you know, some people would say you see what you're looking for, but I've been looking for it before and after. And I remember one time I was doing hypnosis with a lay hypnotist who was one of my mentors back in the day. And she was, every Friday we would do an exploratory hypnosis session. And I was doing some aggressive work, trying to get in touch with my Native American side. And the interesting thing was, one day I actually had a vision while I was in the hypnosis of two otters playing in a river. And I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea what that meant. And come to find out, years after, the otter was the birth sign in Native American of my I was born in February in Aquarius, and the otter was my birth sign. And I just thought that was really kind of, you know, there's a little synchronicity, you know. Why that image? There was no other image. That's the only thing I saw. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whether my mind created that or it was still connected meaningfully to what I was trying to understand.
Well, if you get into Native American belief, they would tell you it's connected in one way, shape, or form. I think that American culture is fascinating.
One of my grandfathers, it was Chief Matakawanda. He was a shaman, and he led the whole Northeastern. He negotiated with the Massachusetts governor back in, like, 1690 while they held his daughter in Boston.
Wow.
Yeah, but he was actually very spiritual. And was I have a connection to my cousins up there in Indian Island, and have had some experiences with them, which has been really nice to be able to share some of the Native American experiences. So
yeah, it's a very close-knit culture, so it you really have to either be a part of the culture, or it takes years to understand just a little bit of it.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, and respecting it, respecting nature. I remember in my book, I actually put one of the stories. I remember when I was in college, I had a girlfriend and we walked out into the woods and we came upon this pasture and there was all these deer. And the deer saw us and they didn't move. There was maybe 20, 30 deer. And so we sat down in the grass and we watched them. And then a couple of guys were coming up the path and you heard them. And I turned around to see who it was, and when I looked back, the deer were gone. And it's like, you know, it's almost like nature sometimes knows what's safe and what's not safe.
I made fun of a little bit at Waverly a little bit. I spent 20 minutes talking to a deer outside while we were out there just because it was such a delightful animal, and it just popped up out of nowhere and was just kind of sitting there looking at me while I was talking to him as if, okay, well, he's not going to harm me at all. He's just here speaking to me.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, they do carry messages if you let yourself figure it out. Sometimes there's a message.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that, let's talk about your book a little bit. I know, do you have it online with Amazon?
Yes, it is. It is online with Amazon. It's called Perceptual Hypnosis.
Perceptual Hypnosis, listeners, so make sure you go to Amazon and take a look at that. It's Dr. Frederick Woolard, is that correct?
Woolard, W-O-O-D-A-R-D.
I apologize about that. I don't know why I said Woolard. Now, do you also have your own personal website that they can go to?
Yes, woolardhypnosisandresearch.org.
Now, currently, do you...
Psychotherapy.org.
I was going to say, do you take on patients for psychotherapy, or is it just simply a kind of a motivational area where they can go and read up on your books and so forth?
No, I'm a practicing psychologist. I have a full caseload right now. I'm not actually taking any new patients. I'm full, but I'm very very busy with my regular psychology. My research. This whole area of the paranormal and researching the paranormal and spirituality and hypnosis is my own personal hobby, like trying to expand consciousness, understand it better, and things like that is something I've been interested in all my life. And so it's just something I do on my own. It's my own. I do it on the side.
Well, it is a very fascinating thing to actually get into and study and learn, and it opens up literally a lifetime worth of things that you've probably been working on and still work on a regular basis.
Yes, because there isn't enough time. I won't be alive long enough to fulfill all the things I could possibly do or want to do. It's
yeah.
just the way it is.
But it's, well, that's that way with a lot of things, but I think it's expanding your awareness and diving into the paranormal side of things, it's amazing, really. I know I started my journey 23 years ago, and of course I don't have a psychology degree, but I've spent a lot of time at universities. I have a marketing degree, a business degree. I worked in research and development with several people, and I got to tell you, I learned something new every single time I talk to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. If you have an open mind, there's always something to learn, you know, and it's it'll never stop. That's the wonderful part. You'll just continue to grow as long as you can. Be aware.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, that applies a lot to life in general, but, you know, it applies incredibly to the paranormal because there's so many unknown factors. And basically, when you narrow down, the paranormal just means what's not found yet, something that's unknown.
Yes, that's kind of the definition I put in my book was kind of the idea, or my journal article, I think it was my journal article, was the things that can't be measured. You know, so I considered them to any of those. If it's one of those things that experience that can't be measured, it can't be, you know, can't be captured in the physical world, then it's part of the paranormal.
Yep,
UFOs,
something.
Angels, spirits, religion, you know, telekinesis, those kind of things you can't see, you can't explain. That's how I kind of define that.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I think that's like, you know, that's the cutting edge. That's being a pioneer. All the people that are interested in the paranormal are pioneers.
We are, yeah. Everybody that's in the paranormal is actually a pioneer. And I think a lot of people don't understand. They want it to happen overnight. But as you know, being a pioneer in any field doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes literally centuries of people working, creating theories and so forth, and years of development before you can get that one little thing.
Oh, yes. The sad thing to watch is in conventional science where, you know, a guy can spend his whole life and only bring something like a couple feet ahead from where it was his entire life.
Yep. Yeah. You know? And that's the thing that I think a lot of people, listeners, especially you in the paranormal world, just sit back and think about that a little bit. And that's a true quote. You can spend your entire life and you've got one footstep. But that one footstep should matter to you.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
That's a thing we struggle with all the time. I think we struggle with it in life, though. It's just one of those things, you know, that you deal with in every aspect. People just simply don't think about applying it to what they're doing when it comes to the paranormal. You know, you're constantly learning in life. I know I've made many, many mistakes that have made me go six steps back, and now I've got to spend the next 6 years going six steps further. but it's all in that learning experience, if that makes sense.
Yes, no, that does. And I also think there's different aspects. There's the aspect of like subjective truth. There can be something that really proves to you beyond a doubt that something is going on and you don't need any more. You can't prove that to anyone else, but it's adequate for you. And I think those things do happen quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
They help people along. And, I think that it's like that woman with her grandmother telling her to put her seatbelt on. She never had an experience like that, never thought about anything like that. How did that happen? Why did she hear her grandmother's voice? You know, it's the idea of how does this come out of nowhere? It's not part of her thought process. It's not like, well, I'm going to get in my car now and think about my grandmother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I like to tell everybody, when they experience things along those lines. I know there's a lot of debate when you deal with social media and you deal with a lot of different media, but when somebody runs into something like that and that's enough proof for them, that's okay. Because I've been there myself. I've had many, many experiences that, you know, I could explain it all day long and I'm going to get somebody that goes, yeah, right. But does it really matter if they say yeah, right or not, if I know it answered my question?
when I was doing my hypnosis research for another article that I published on my phenomenological research on hypnosis, I was doing a basic induction for people and then having them experience the hypnosis. And then I would interview them on their experience. And this one man, I was beginning the induction and I kept thinking I should say, well, you know, you can just keep your eyes closed. You might want to open them, but you can just keep them closed. But I didn't say that because that wasn't part of what I was normally doing. And so when the session was over and I interviewed him, he said, well, at the beginning, I kept thinking I could open my eyes. But then I decided that, no, I'll just keep them closed and I'll listen to what you're saying. And I was able to get into it. And to me, it was like, I didn't say a word. You know, I didn't say anything. So I somehow picked up on what he was thinking. And that's, you know, those are the things that are like subjective truths. Why would I have that thought? And then he speaks the very thing. He was experiencing that very thing. I think that's that telepathic kind of like connections that we have with people. And I think that's really part of what, you know, mothers and grandmothers and relatives have done in emergencies. I remember when I was just starting out in the field, there was a person that I met that she had a bad depression, and she had felt her sister was going on vacation. So that night she decided she was going to kill herself, and she took a bunch of pills, and then she decided to change her mind, and she tried to make it to the phone, and she on the way to the phone, she just fell and passed out. And her sister was on the highway and instantly knew something was wrong and drove home and saved her sister's life.
Wow. Well, I hate to actually end the conversation because it's been so amazing, but we're about to get into the next host that's coming in. You've been listening to Dr. Frederick Woodard. Replay the conversation a little bit. Make sure you look for his book on Amazon. Doctor, what's the name of the book?
Perceptual Hypnosis.
Perceptual Hypnosis. And actually look him up on Facebook. You can look him up online as well and be able to find out a little bit more about Dr. Woodard. Next week, we've got another exciting guest coming in. I want to thank you for your time here, Dr. Woodard. I appreciate you taking the time and the effort to be on the radio here, and you're always welcome to come back. You have been listening to BBS Radio, Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm going to end this every single week the way I do. Remember, in the paranormal, truth should always be that reality. So play back, if you just came in, the information today with Dr. Woodard. Listen to it in in-depth detail because it's very, very important, and it really applies to what that statement says, because a lot of times each individual truth is all a part of that reality in the paranormal. Something to think about. We'll talk to you next week.